Luke chapter 14, verse 16 through 24. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. And by the way, that has not stopped today. Amen. I was out visiting yesterday. I visited several times this week. I visited a lot in the last month. And let me tell you, I hear excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse why something is more important than the invitation of God in somebody's life. But they all with one consent begin to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. I must needs go see it. I pray thee have me excused. I'm not going to preach this, but any excuse not to do what God says is a foolish and silly excuse. Can you imagine someone buying a piece of property? Now I got to go see it, you know. How about this guy? Verse 19, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. It's like buying a car and not test driving it first, you know. And just silly, silly excuses. And another said, I have married a wife and I'm henpecked and she won't let me come. And so at least the guy was honest about that one, amen. And verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house being angry. And I want to say, I'm going to stop preaching as I'm going through it. That, you know what? Excuses not to get saved, excuses once you are saved, not to serve God fully. You know what? Those excuses still make God angry today. I know this is a parable, but you know what? The Lord in this story, this master represents God himself. And you know what? The next time an excuse begins to form on our lips as a Christian, I hope the Holy Spirit of God smites our heart. I think God is sick of listening to his children make excuses. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it has done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which are bidden shall taste of my supper. 10 reasons I love the bus ministry. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the miracle that happens here every weekend. Oh, Lord, I fear that when something happens on a regular basis right in front of us, we begin to take it for granted. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't do that, that something would happen in our hearts, Lord, today to cause us to understand and really see from an eternal perspective what's been happening at Blessed Oak Baptist Church for now the 44-year history. Lord, the bus ministry here is as old as the church itself. Lord, within the first few months of a new church being formed, a bus ministry was started, and thank you for the faithfulness all these years to this important ministry. And Lord, I ask that you'd stir something in our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to talk about this great ministry that the Lord allows us to partake in. I think when we get to heaven, we can look back from an eternal perspective and we see all that's happened in the 44-year history of this church. And I hope until Jesus comes, I hope no matter how much more time we have, I hope it'll always continue to happen. You know, one of the great nightmares of my life is that there may be a day when people drive by this church and say, isn't it that the church that used to have them red buses? Isn't that the church that used to go out there and pick up children? Wonder whatever happened to that. Now listen, this young generation, I'm telling you right now, you know what? You're going to determine not just the future of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you're going to determine the future of the bus ministry here. Because there always has to be in every generation some people that'll step up and stand up and say, you know what? I'll rearrange my weekends. I'll take things seriously. I will take part of my Saturday and go after souls. And I'll get up a little earlier on Sunday morning than maybe some of the other folks have to. And I'll get home a little later. But you know what? Look around us. It sure makes it worth it to see all these young people here today. And by the way, over in junior church this morning, there's a whole room of young people having the gospel preached to them. And down in primary church today, there's a whole group of primary age kids having the gospel preached to them. And somebody's got to be willing to pay the price. And I'm so thankful for those that work in our bus ministry. Preacher, you love the bus ministry. I do. I don't know who the next pastor will be, but I will tell you this. Listen to me. I'm not going to dictate a lot of things, but I'm going to ask you to do this. Don't bring somebody in that is not passionate about the bus ministry. I think former bus captains make good pastors. I think if a guy's never ridden on a bus in his life, he's probably not qualified to pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That's the way I feel about it, all right? That's my 2 cents worth, all right? Because you know what? If we become a yuppie church, all of a sudden all we're concerned about is us, then the bus ministry will die here. Preacher, get into the reasons. Here it is. Number one, it's the greatest soul-winning ministry in existence today. The greatest soul-winning ministry in existence today. Why is that true? Because the bus ministry follows the formula found in Psalms 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know what? I just described the bus ministry. You know what? You're not going to stay in the bus ministry very long without developing a heart for the bus ministry. And when you get a heart for these bus kids, the tears are going to begin to come. And when the tears come, they water the seeds of the gospel that's planted. And you know what? The Bible gives us this guaranteed promise, and doubtless shall come again with rejoicing. And you know what? Here they come, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoice. Here they come pulling in, bringing in the sheaves. That's the bus ministry. It's the greatest soul-winning ministry in existence today. I'm not going to be able to give you an exact percentage because it's just a little too complex. Our records don't lean to this. But I can safely tell you that in the 12 years that I've pastored Blessed Hope Baptist Church, over 75% of the souls that have been saved in this church have been saved through the ministry, through the bus ministry, some connection with the bus ministry. That's 1 or 3 out of every 4 people that get saved here. I think it's an important ministry. Number 2, it's pure religion. It's pure religion. James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. You know what, folks? A lot of religion's not pure religion. There's a lot of ministries that, if you're not careful, will lean towards being impure. What do you mean? Impure in our motive. I want to warn some of you, okay? I'm glad for the songs, the music ministry here. And I'm glad for those of you that have an opportunity to get up and sing for the Lord. But you know what? If you're not careful, a ministry that could be pure, we can make impure because the motive of our heart begins to change. And it's not about going up and glorifying God, being a blessing to God's people and preparing them for the message. It's about, look at me, I need people to applaud for me. And by the way, some of you young people, you know, you may not understand. And you first come here, I can always tell when we got first-time visitors because sometimes this happens, that one of our people will get done singing and somebody will, in appreciation, by the way, from a good heart, nothing wrong, but they'll start clapping and then they'll go like this because, well, nobody claps. Well, I understand. That in the world, you know, somebody does something, we clap for them. But you know, folks, these people aren't singing up here for you to clap for them. They're singing up here to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? If you need clapping, you probably shouldn't be up here. All right? I'm talking about pure religion. I'm talking about pure and undefiled. You know what God says? Pure religion that doesn't feed your ego. You got to have the spotlight. I'm just not going to stay in this church if I can't get up and say something. I can't teach. I can't do what I want to do. Then hit the road, Jack. Because you're not here for the right reason. Why don't you, first of all, come to me and see if you can clean a bathroom? Why don't you come to me and see if you can sweep a bus? All right, because that's where I find my teachers. Come on now. That's what I'm saying. Pure religion, okay, is, you know what? Go visit the fatherless. Okay, guess what? There's no spotlight there. There's no people going like this there. Why don't you go find a family where, you know what, daddy left home. And those kids need a father figure. You know, these bus captains, a lot of time, and by the way, they're not the father of these kids, but in a lot of these kids' heart, they help fill that void in their life. You know, how about the widows? Why don't you go take a nursing home? This is good for us. Why don't you go take a nursing home, amen? Well, there ain't much applause there, no. Matter of fact, halfway through the message, you're going to look up, most of them's going to be... I mean, you know what? You talk about an ego buster. You've been working all week. You got this message on dancing. You know, you're going to put an end to that in the nursing home. Rumors have been going around that some of this is going on, and you're going to finish that and put an end to that, and you're going to get through about 3 minutes and look up, and all of your oratory abilities, there's going to be nobody awake, amen? But you know what? That's pure stuff. That, hey, you know what? There's nobody got a spotlight down at the nursing home. Nobody probably even going to hear about it unless you go around telling everybody so they know just what a good Christian you are, you know. We're talking about pure religion, okay? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. By the way, I'm not going to preach just part of that verse. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Unspotted from the world. Now think about that. You know what? Anytime you have pure religion, it always leads to a life of separation from the world. Okay, don't talk about your pure religion and your Christian rock music. Don't talk about your pure religion and your Daisy Duke shorts. Okay, don't talk about your pure religion and your tobacco habit. Okay, but you know what? If you're going to live pure before God and God's going to have respect for the type of religion and Christian life you have, then you know what? A real Christianity always separates you from the world. You know, they've got these, the technology and some of the investigation tools they've got, you know, they can check for blood splatter now, you know, and they use a certain lights that they can check and see if there's blood splatter. Come on, you guys have watched this stuff, important stuff, I'm sure. And if you've shot a gun, you can spread a certain light and it'll pick up a residue, a powder residue, to see whether or not you've got gunpowder on you. I wonder if we brought you up front, turned off the lights, and we had a special light that showed it how spotted with the world you are today, what would it look like? How much of your ears would glow with the worldliness that you're allowing? How much of your eyes would glow? How much of your hands and what you've handled this week has to do with worldliness and wickedness and sinfulness? What I'm saying is, you know what? If you want to get into pure religion, then you know what? Separate yourself from this world and go and stop looking for the spotlight and don't need applause and go find a toilet somewhere and clean it. Go find a bus and sweep it out. Go find a little child that's going to end up going to hell in a handbasket if somebody don't intervene in his life. Go out, go over there to the nursing home when nobody knows you're there and just go room to room and read a chapter of the Bible to those ladies or those men and hold their hand and listen to them for a little bit and pray with them a little bit. I'm telling you, listen, I want to just say this. Preacher, I just wish somebody give me something to do. There's a million things to do. There's a million things to do. You just got to be willing to go out there and get at it. You know, that's pure religion. Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You know what we've been doing all these years? We're striving to be involved in pure religion. We're striving to be able to help somebody that, you know what, these kids that are brought into this church wouldn't be, I'm going to tell you, it's the honest truth, wouldn't be welcome in most of the churches in this county. Totally unconcerned about them. Even if they walked in the door, they wouldn't be made to felt welcome. And the honest truth is the people that wouldn't want them there. That's not pure religion. We're 7 different nursing homes. And by the way, I don't preach in any of them. You know what? Who preaches? People in this church, families in this church, just say, preacher, I want to be involved in pure religion. Okay? How about that? Isn't that good for us? All right. And by the way, don't ask me to stop preaching on separation. Don't ask me to stop preaching against worldliness. Because the minute we do that, then we're not involved in pure religion. Number 3, a cure for selfishness. It's a cure for selfishness. Oh, I'm going to preach a message on this pretty soon. I've already got the title of it. I've got the scriptures. I'm working it out right now. I'm going to preach a message entitled The Fastest Growing Cult in America Today. the fastest growing cult in America today, and that cult is self-worship, the worshiping of self. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also, then the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, which leads to what? Covetousness, boasting, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy, the list goes on. I'm going to just spend a minute on this point. But I sometimes have a parent come to me, and by the way, don't be too hard on the young people around here. They're just young people like everybody else is young people. They fight against the same sins we all fight against. But you know what? Sometimes a parent will come to me and say, man, I've got a selfish kid. I just got a selfish kid. I mean, my teenager's so self-absorbed and selfish. And preacher, what do I do about this? You know what I always tell them? Get him in the bus ministry. Get him in the bus ministry. Get him in the bus ministry. Every single person, every single one of us that have gotten into the bus ministry, if we've stayed there and stuck it out, you know what we've had to do? We've had to decide, this isn't about me. And you know what? There's a lot of other people that's more important than I am. And so it's a cure for selfishness. Number four, it allows teenage workers to peek into sin's back door. To peek into sin's back door. I'm talking about 10 reasons I love the bus ministry. You know what? Our teenagers, we want our teenagers involved in the bus ministry. I'm going to say it again. Parents, I want every teenager ought to be involved in the bus ministry. I'm going to say it again. I think every teenager ought to be involved in the bus ministry. It does cure some things in their life. It cures selfishness in their life. They have to come to church not worried about them and theirs. And you know what? But worried about having some responsibility to take some kids and care for them and love them and befriend them and disciple them. I mean, it's good for the young people. But let me tell you something else it does. Our young people, you know what? We work very hard to keep them sheltered from the world. And we don't apologize for that, by the way. Oh, they're just sheltering them from the world. Yes, thank you very much. Why are you talking like that's a bad thing? They ought to be sheltered from this world. But there's a difference between being separated from the world and being isolated from the world. And one of the things that we do with our teenagers, I want them on the front ranks working in ministries that are out there trying to reach sinners and reach the lost. Because I'll tell you what, if you get on an average bus route, and it's not true of every bus home. We have some very stable home situations where those parents send their kids to our church. But I will tell you this, the vast majority of the home situations are less than desirable. And you know, you got a teenage girl maybe, and you know what? She starts listening to the devil, listening to the wrong crowd about, you know, this and that, and the world looks appealing, and sin looks appealing, and I'm going to start sneaking around behind my dad's back and my mom's back, and I'm going to go, building relationship and getting in technology, and boy, aren't I smart? I'm smarter than them. Look what I'm pulling off. But then they get on the bus route, and they meet themselves 5 years from now. And they meet themselves 10 years from now. That's what they do. You know what they meet? They meet that single mom that also got on and snuck behind her mom and dad's back and also believed how much this guy loved them. But now she's raising 2 or 3 kids by herself while he's been on technology telling some other woman how much he loves him. And what I'm saying is this, you know what? You can watch the beer commercials and think beer's great. You get in the bus ministry and you see the real effects of it. You might be tempted because of some talk from some, you know, folks that aren't too bright about the advantages, how neat it is to smoke pot. Or you could go to the bus ministry and see what it really does to people's lives. And what I'm saying is, I want our young people involved in the bus ministry. You know what? I want them well chaperoned. I want them going with adults. But you know what? They need to take a peek into sin's back door from time to time. See, sin has two doors. I haven't taught this in a while, so I'm going to teach it, all right? Sin has two doors. It has a front. I want you to imagine this is a building right here. The pews, all the way to the edge of the pews here. This is one building within the building right here. And I'm opening the door, and here's the front door, and in here's sin. Look where you're all sitting. Shame on you this morning. It's a good thing I came to preach the Bible this morning, try to help some of you. But here you are. I'm in the building of sin. And you know what our young people do? They hang around the front door of sin, and they look at there, and they kind of sometimes drive around and peek, and they think, and you know what? The preacher says, don't go through that door. And the parents say, don't go through that door. But when they go look at the the front door. You know what? There's the most beautiful women and handsome men. And you know what? We've told about all the terrible things that are through the door, but every time the door opens and closes, all they hear is laughter and happiness and fun, and people are excited. And maybe the preacher's not telling me the truth, and maybe my parents aren't being square with me on this. And I say to them, you know what? If you want to be a fool, then you go ahead and walk through that front door. And you go ahead and walk in there and find out what it really is. But you won't get very far past that front door of sin, and all the laughter dies down. And everything you thought looked like fun turns into agony. Now, you can learn about sin two ways, young people. You can walk through the front door of sin, or you can come over here to the edge of the building, and you can go down the side of the building. You can sneak around back there to the back door of sin. And by the way, you watch what the devil's puking out the back door. He takes people's lives and he uses them and he abuses them. And when he's done, he loses them. And thank God we've got a lot of ministries where we're waiting at the back door to pick up. Who spit all over me, by the way? Did you spit all over me? You sure it was me? Okay, all right. Just, did any of it get on you guys? I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. And we thank God for the bus ministry. That's waiting at the back door when they're thrown on the garbage pile of this world and they're convinced nobody loves them and nobody wants them. And guess what? That's the time somebody, some Christian could come by and say, hey, by the way, I know what the devil did and I know he told you a lie and I know you think your life's over, but you know what? Jesus loves you and Jesus wants you. Amen. How about that? But you know what, young people, if you want to, you can find out about sin this way. Well, I'm going to be 18. I'll do it. Go ahead. Make a mockery of God and be a fool and walk through the front door and end up messing up like everybody else. Or you could be smart enough to get in the bus ministry. You could decide when you're 18, 19, and 20, and 21, that instead of being at the front door of sin, being in the door of sin, you'd be at the back door helping to rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin in the grave, weep o'er the erry one, lift up the fallen. I've got adults all over this room that are nodding their head. And young people, sometimes I think they're busting because they'd like to just say, preacher, give me 3 minutes in front of a microphone to beg these kids to listen to what you're saying right now. Nobody stood at that door and warned me. I didn't know better. And these kids have an opportunity to hear something different. Preacher, just let me beg them to do it. But I'm telling you with all your heart, you're never gonna be sad. You know, the happy young people, the happy 20-somethings and the happy 30-somethings that have gone through this ministry are not the ones that graduated and thumbed their nose at the standards and thumbed their nose at church. And when, you know what? They're the ones that have walked in and their lives are a wreck now. Listen, why don't you head around to the back door? Hey, all right, why don't you get back into bus ministry? Why don't you decide it's important enough, amen? Sorry, I just had a preaching spell, all right? Help us, help us, help us. This allows our teen workers to peek into sin's back door. I'm not trying to hide anything from you, young people, but I'm tired of you being lied about. You need to go see what it really is. Go to the rescue mission and come back and tell me about how great booze is. Okay, go to the divorce court and just watch them one after another, one after another. Most of them haven't been married 2 or 3 or 4 years. But you know what? Mom didn't know anything and Dad didn't know anything. The preacher sure didn't know anything. Best listen, okay? Number 5 of the bus ministry is great training ground for those going into the ministry. And boy, it's amazing and exciting how many young people grow up as bus workers, teenage bus workers in our church, and end up God using that to prepare their hearts for full-time Christian service. On the back bulletin board there, as you walk in, there's pictures of some of our young people that are now out serving in full-time service. Some of them here in the ministry here, some of them away from here. So I went and made copies of them. And I looked and I said, okay, there's Paul Chapman. Man, he was reached through the bus ministry. And after he was reached through the bus ministry, he became a bus captain. And you know what? He served the whole time he was in Bible college in the bus ministry. Now he's pastoring a church. There's Caleb Hall, reached through the bus ministry. And you know what? Then he went to college and became a bus captain. And now he's pastoring a church. Isn't that something? There's Gerald Clanny. Man, he's got a beautiful wife. Wow. Man alive. For those of you that don't know, that's my daughter, all right, Hannah. Hannah. And those beautiful grandbaby girls. Woo, my goodness sakes. And I pray for both my daughters, both Tabitha and Hannah. They were at the house yesterday, and both of them have issues with their weight. And we're just, it's honestly a little embarrassing. We didn't raise them that way. And so we've talked to them. I'm not trying to embarrass them. I don't do that. But just pray. Amen. Just pray. And Gerald Clanny grew up in the bus ministry and became a bus captain. Hannah grew up here in the bus ministry. Chad Gordon grew up working in the bus ministry. And Miss Rachel in the bus ministry. And Derek Lowen was reached through the bus ministry and then went and became a bus captain himself. And Miss Rebecca working in the bus ministry. And Lindsay Klein working in the bus ministry. Well, look at here. Jesse McCammon reached through the bus ministry. Married him, Heather. And she was reached through the bus ministry. And you know what they are, what they did today? They got on a bus route this morning and they went out and picked up young people. And then I didn't have a chance to check on David. I don't know if David Napuunoa was ever in the bus. I kind of doubt it because he's kind of a pretty boy, you know? So we'll get back with you on David. I'm not sure. Justin Nichols in the bus ministry and Kelsey Hall Nichols now reached through the bus ministry and AJ Nichols grew up working in the bus ministry and Tabitha working in the bus ministry and Jonathan Ross is a youth pastor in Alabama now grew up working on the bus route, married Amber who grew up working on a bus route, and there's Jerry and Cheryl Ross, and man, where did they meet and fall in love? On a bus route. That's what happened. That's where I met her, in the bus ministry. Stephen and Stephanie, you know what, have been involved in the bus ministry. Stephanie reached through the bus ministry. Jonathan Reiser grew up in a bus ministry family. He didn't even know how to get to the church till he was 18. If he made the direct drive right here, he always thought you got in your car and you had to drive in circles out in the country. And then you finally got to the church. And in the bus ministry. And Daniel and Rachel, Skyra, what? Yeah, I wish she would have married an American. I don't understand our young ladies growing up and marrying foreigners. I don't get that. Ashley did the same thing. But anyway, bus ministry. I wonder if God might just use the bus ministry. Well, I talked to my kid and they just don't really like the bus and they don't want to be in the, that's your problem is you talk to them and discuss them instead of telling them. Why don't you start being a daddy? Why don't you start being a mom? Why don't you start being parents? Amen. Why don't you find out what, maybe they don't like looking in sin's back door. They just like hanging around sin's front door. Maybe that's their real problem. Maybe they don't really want to give up selfishness. Well, they're just cut out a little bit different. Yeah, I know what that different is. And what I'm saying, it's about time we stopped sugarcoating things. And we start looking at what it is. And by the way, it's just not kids that are in full-time Christian service. All over this auditorium, there are young men and young ladies that are working in this ministry as Sunday school teachers and children's church workers and master's club workers and bus captains who, you know what they did when they were a teenager here? Grew up in the bus ministry. It's almost like there's a thread here, a theme here. You know what, folks? Get your young people involved in the bus ministry. Amen. Great training ground for those going into ministry, whether it's full-time or whether it's serving in your local church. I'll hurry up. Number six, I like the bus ministry because it builds character. It builds character. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. Here it is. For the work of the ministry. I just wanted to pull that phrase out. You know what the ministry is? It's work. The work of the ministry. You know what I like about the bus ministry? You may join it just because you're enamored and those little kids seem so sweet and cute. And oh, look how much they love their bus captain. Man, I'd like little kids to love me like that. You may join for a lot of reasons, but let me tell you what you're going to find out within just about a month. The bus ministry is work. It is work. Now, you know what, folks? Listen, I mean, we're kind of into the fall right now. It's a great time to join the bus ministry. Why? Because we want to trick you. We want you to think that the bus is always that cool in the morning and nice. and that the weather's always so pleasant. And but you know what I love? Hey, come on now. We're going to get into January, and we're going to get into February. And you know what it's going to take to keep a bus ministry going? People with character. Character. I mean, the Sundays we have to keep all the buses plugged in, and then pray they start the next morning, and we get them out there, and we pick these kids up, and the wind's blowing, the snow's howling, and you know what we're doing? We're doing what we do. We pick up young people. Or you get out there in the summertime, and boy, we just about had a revisit of summer right here today. Amen. Bus captains, bus workers, on the way home, it's going to feel a little bit like a July route. But you know what, you get down there and those buses have been sitting in the sun all afternoon, and we unload, and you know what, you don't get into a bus, you get into a heat box on wheels, you know, and they're like, take attendance quick, take it quick, we got to get this thing moving, get some air going. And it takes character. It takes character. You know what, the bus ministry, if you're lazy or you're soft, you won't last long in the bus ministry. I grieve over, and I'm gonna revisit this because I grieve over parents that let their teenagers wind their way out of the bus ministry. I grieve over it. I won't call names, and I probably ought to. I mean, sometimes I just think, you know what? You say, I don't believe in calling names. Well, you better address the Apostle Paul, because he called some names. And that was inspired by God. But I get a little sick and tired of people later on wanting to point back and talk about how you know what, Blessed Hope Baptist Church ruined their life. I watched the way their lives were ruined. I watched a man in this church that loved the bus ministry. He gave his life to the bus ministry. He was reached through the bus ministry. And you know what? God gave him a son. And you know what his desire was? I looked in the front of his Bible one time, found his Bible, left on a pew, opened it up. There's a picture of him and his son in front of a bus. Daddy's got a shirt and tie on. The little boy's got a shirt and tie on. The dream of this man was to have his boy grow up in his teenage years and serve beside him in the bus ministry. But the problem is, he had a mama that he kept going to and whining about how hard the bus ministry was. And it was so hard. He got to the point where he didn't want to get up in the morning and go help his dad on the bus route. When he did get up, he'd get mad. And he'd go to the back of the bus and curl up on the back seat and go back to sleep while they were picking kids up. And you know what? Instead of mama backing daddy, she began to intervene for him and intercede for him, and you just don't understand, he's different than you, I'm at the same old junk. And pretty soon, you know what, mama got him off the bus route. And you know what, he's lazy, he's soft. And his dad, one of the hardest working guys I've ever seen, his dad had a passion for souls, his dad was dedicated to the bus ministry. But you know what, you got a little teenager whining his way out of it, crying his way out of it. Mama not backing the daddy. You know, I mean, oversleep in our house. You better be able to swim. You say, why? Because when 5-gallon bucket of water hits you, you think they've submerged you into the depths of the sea. You know what we need? We need young men and young lady with some character. Some character. I'm proud of our young ladies that work in the bus ministry. And you know what? Good night, they get up and they fix their hair and they get dressed so nice, and then they get on the bus route, they wrestle kids and they do everything, and then they come in here and they deliver the kids and they run the bathroom and fix the damage as much as they can. And to me, they're more beautiful than the young lady that has primped for 2 or 3 hours but don't have a heart for anybody but herself and comes prancing in like, oh, aren't you just God's gift to this church? Come on now. Come on now. Give me the bus. You know what I did? I didn't go to that group and try to find a wife at Howells Anderson College. I went out to the buses to look for a wife at Howells Anderson College. Amen. I'm talking about building character. Number 7, it tests a church willingness to financially sacrifice. How about this promise? But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And you know what, folks? It's not, I'm going to say this because I want to make sure that you understand that I understand this. It's just not people that are riding the buses and visiting that are in the bus ministry here. Because once all those kids get delivered right there, there's got to be a whole army of people that take care of them after they get here, amen? And bus workers, aren't you glad that there is? Sunday school teachers that are waiting and children's and primary churches, and they're in the bus ministry as much as you're in the bus ministry. But I also talk to some of our older folks sometime, and many of them, when they could in years gone by, used to work in children's ministries and bus ministries and Sunday school classes. And the honest truth is they can't do it anymore. And by the way, they shouldn't have to do it anymore if they can't. Okay? But let me tell you what they do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They're still in the bus ministry. How do they stay in the bus ministry, preacher, if they can't go visiting and they can't do what they used to do? They sacrificially give so that we can keep putting gas in the buses out there. And you know what else they do? They pray for our bus captains and our bus workers and our bus kids. And you know what? While those buses are pulling out of here at 7 o'clock this morning, you know what? There's already senior saints that have begun praying for our bus ministry. And long after everybody else is home, there's still those of us that are praying as you deliver those bus kids home. What I'm saying is it teaches a church. Now listen, we're going to give an offering in a minute here. It gives you an opportunity to sacrifice for the bus ministry. Number 8, it reaches the poor. It reaches the poor. Hey, can I give you some promises in the Bible? Some good proverbs? He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Happy is he. Happiest young people are not the ones that refuse to get in the bus ministry. Go look at the scowls on their face while I'm preaching right now. The happiest kids in the world aren't the selfish ones. They're not the self-absorbed kids. Happiest kids in the world are the ones that said, hey, where can I plug in? Where can I help, man? I mean, we had a happy crew over there making breakfast for the kids. They got here early this morning making breakfast, having the time of their life. You know what? Because they were serving. You know when you're happiest in life? It's not when it's about you. That doesn't make you happy. Okay, the most selfish people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church miserable people at Blessed Hope Baptist Church are selfish people. You think this church is about what we need to do for you. I mean, you really do. You sit there almost every week fuming that we don't do more for you. You're the one that has criticized the pastor and dropped the little innuendos. Amen. Come on, brother. Every time I try some fancy word, it just doesn't work, man. Well, you know, it's been so many weeks, and they've never come by. And I heard they had so-and-so at their house, and they've never had us over at their. Why don't you grow up? Why don't you realize it's not about you? I mean, from time to time, me and my wife will have somebody new that comes to the church. We'll have them come to our house for a meal, trying to welcome them and integrate them into the church. And I got people who've been here 30, 40 years. Well, he never asked me. And that's what you learned from that? Wait, that's what you learned from what we did. There wasn't a light bulb that went on that said, huh, maybe we ought to do something like that to look for new people in the church and invite them to our house to make them feel welcome. Now, for some of you, I hope a light bulb just went on for the first time. Oh, I never even thought of that before. You know why? Because everything that happens around you is judged on good or bad by whether or not it pleases you, is done for you. And you know what? You're a miserable person. I'm telling you, you're a miserable person. Listen. You know why I can be happy anytime I want to be happy and you can't? Because you can only be happy when somebody does something for you. But I can be happy. I'm the happiest when I'm doing something for somebody else. And by the way, you can't control other people doing something for you. But I can choose to do something for anybody else anytime I want to. So that's why I'm happy and you're an old sourpuss. Okay? All right? I'm trying to help you. Jesus didn't come down to this earth to be served. He said that. He said, I've come to serve. Okay? I've come to give my life a ransom for many. And in this matter of reaching the poor, have mercy on the poor, happy is he. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth, honoreth him, hath mercy on the poor. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, but that which he hath given will he pay him again. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. And I'm going to tell you what I talked about, a yuppie church or a snob church, we're not ever going to be that. I don't care if the governor of Indiana walks in the back door of that church or a little bus kid walks in the back of that church. I'm not going to be kinder and nicer to one of them more than I am the other. And some preachers will say that, but they don't mean it. I mean it. Okay? You know what? Rich and the poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all. Too many preachers spending all their time schmoozing around with the rich people. You know what? Let's get on a bus route, reach the poor people. By the way, I'm for reaching everybody. And you know what? I go visiting every week in affluent neighborhoods. You know what I find out? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to go into the kingdom of God. And by the way, let's see, who said that? Jesus did. Amen. He's usually right. Doesn't mean that rich people can't be saved. It means it takes an absolute miracle. You know why? Because they have so much, they don't think they need anything. But you get somebody that sometimes it's not financially poor. Sometimes it's poor in spirit. Sometimes they've gone through something that's just bankrupted them, got them to the bottom where they have nowhere to look but up. And it's amazing how appealing God is at that time in their life, you see. So we're looking for people that know they have a need, and we try to tell them about somebody that can meet that need. Hardest thing in the world is to try to tell somebody that does not think they have a need that they have a need. And so you know what? I found out this. If we invest in the poor in our community, God always pays the bills here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Always has. Always has. Number 9, provides many people in our church opportunities for service. And I kind of got ahead of myself there. But you know what? Like I said, it's not just the bus workers that bring the kids in. It's Sunday school teachers that now have a class to teach in children's church and primary church and master's church. And by the way, we have ladies every week. I love this. That, you know what they do? They sign up on a list. And during the week on Friday or Saturday, they'll make homemade cookies or homemade cupcakes or some types of treats. And they walk in here and they take them to a certain place. I don't know where they take them. I don't even know where they're at. And that's on purpose. Back when I used to know where they were at, they kept disappearing. And I don't know what was going on. So they moved them somewhere, I'm not sure. But I will find out one day. And you're in the bus ministry. And you're in the bus ministry. And let me give you the last thought. Say, preacher, why do you love the bus ministry? Because I love every Sunday morning standing right back there. Hey, preacher, man, it's 9:30. Where's the preacher? I'm sorry. I know I should be more punctual. I know opening assembly. I know my dad's probably screaming down from heaven at me. I get it. But sometimes I'm just playing. Playing. I'm just listening to a story about a dog or a kitten or I'm drying some tears or I'm... It's really the bus captain's fault who's not here on time. Let's just put the blame where it belongs. Amen. The woman thou gavest me. No, it was the serpent. Yeah. I can't imagine Blessed Hope Baptist Church without bus kids. I wouldn't want to come to a church that didn't have bus kids. Now, I'm going to say it. I won't go to a church that don't have bus kids. Not interested. Well, not everybody. Okay, then that's between them and God. That's fine. Well, I'm not playing God. I'm just saying that they don't want to have a bus ministry. If I was a lay person, I wouldn't be in their church. I just think it's worth it. And I want to start off by saying, close this by saying, I want to thank those that work. And this is a whole church that's involved in this. I mean it. I mean, there's hardly a person in this church that in some way isn't connected to this. I want to thank all of you. Yeah, there's already, preacher, we just had new carpet put in and there's already some stains. And yeah, I know. We'll just take it. We'll just, that's why we got the little squares. We can peel them up, put a new one down, you know. Someone came and said, yeah, but don't you think when you put the other one down, it might not look as worn as the, stop. Who cares? Bus kids puke. Yeah, we've had some amazing things happen right here in the service. I've watched a kid sit right there on the front row and hurl all the way to the altar, man. No, not running to get right with God, not running to get saved. I mean hurling. So what do? We just put a bunch of towels over and keep preaching. When people respond, they tend to kind of go to this side, you know, to meet with God. Pray over here, you know. But I don't care. It's all right. Listen, young people, listen, I'm all for taking care of what God's given us. And part of what we teach you and train you about is take good care of stuff. And I'm not just talking about acting foolish. But, you know, where there's no oxen, the crib's clean. Where there's no bus kids, there's probably not going to be writing on the bathrooms or a window broke or, you know, they want to do this with the, you know, the toilet paper. They sit in there and go like this, you know. The problem is our rules are like that big at home. Don't do that. And it's probably not bus kids. It's probably blessed old Christian school kids is probably who's doing it. No, homeschoolers, that's who's doing it. Which reminds me, we have some unfinished business about the other night. Should we take care of that tonight? Because we're just at this close. We'll wait till tonight, okay? You've been given a little space of grace, young lady. Man, I got a teenager causing marital issues in our unbelievable. It's fun coming to a church like that. It's fun coming. It's fun. I know all, listen, look at me. I know all the kids don't always dress the right way, and sometimes the young ladies, bless their hearts. You know, don't be mad at them. They don't, honestly, they don't know better. It's just what the world is teaching them. But I'd rather have them here where they can learn better. Just listen, come on, just be patient with them. I understand sometimes I have to stop and get after some of these young men. But I'm going to tell you, young men, I still love you, and I'm still glad that you're here. And you know, you're, this is going to shock you, but when I was your age, a few times the preacher had to stop and get after me. And then he went home and whooped the fire out of me because the preacher was my dad, so at least I don't follow you home, you know. So thank God for the bus ministry. Thank God for the bus ministry. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you'd help us to keep the right heart, the right emphasis. Lord, we want to have the heart of Jesus Christ. And I think about Jesus that looked over his disciples, suffered the little children to come unto me. Stop. Don't do that. Don't hold them back. Don't tell them to go away. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I pray, Lord, that you'd use, Lord, please use this message to just keep our hearts tender. Lord, we want to turn out young people that are separated and straight. And thank you for families that have an opportunity to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord from day one. But also thank you for those same families having a heart to say, preacher, not every kid's going to have that advantage, and let's go find some. And we can broaden our tent a little, and we can take in some of these bus kids, and we can love them and see if we can help them too. Lord, I want to see our bus ministry grow. Thank you for our bus captains, our bus workers, all the work that they do. Lord, I pray that you'd use this ministry, dear God. Continue to use it to see people saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you may be here this morning. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe you say, preacher, I rode a bus. But if I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. Well, let me tell you why we bought the bus and painted the bus, why Brother Jack Gordon worked so hard to keep the buses running right, why we buy fuel for the buses. Let me tell you why we do this. All these things. Pay the thousands and thousands of dollars insurance every year. We did it for you. We did it because we love you. We did it because we want there to be a red bus that comes by and picks you up. And we wanted you to know that Jesus loves you. He loves you. And I know sometimes life is hard, and I know sometimes people are mean out in this world. But we wanted you to come somewhere where not only did Jesus love you, but people would love you. And God loves you. Jesus loved you so much he was willing to die on the cross for your sins. 3 days later he was buried, and then he rose again. He was buried, and then 3 days later rose again. And he did so because he loves you. And the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life is for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you say, preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I just don't know. But I feel like God is working in my heart, and I'd like to know. In just a minute, we're going to stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we're going to have the piano player play in just a minute. And I would ask for you to just slip out of your seat, come to the nearest aisle, come up here. Brother Jack Gordon's right here. If you're a young lady, we'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a young man or a man, we'll have a man show you. But there's people that are excited, and they would love to be able to show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Is there anybody here, anybody at all, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around, say, "Preacher, I don't think I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But God is working in my heart, and I'd like to be saved today. I'd like to be able to leave the church knowing for sure that I'm on my way to heaven." If that's you, would you just, I'm going to pray for you. And by the way, I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. But I'd like to just pray for you. So, "Preacher, I'm not saved, but I know God's working in my heart. Just pray for me, preacher. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand real quick so I can know to pray for you? Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved." Anybody at all, raise your hand. Don't be bashful. "Preacher, God's working in my heart. I'd like to be saved." Anybody like that today? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd continue to use, Lord, the bus ministry here. Keep us the right kind of a church with the right kind of heart so that we understand and continue to get it. Lord, don't let us become like the world. We want to practice pure religion here. We don't want to be spotted with the world. I pray, Lord, that you'd also just keep us, Lord, doing the kind of work that Jesus did while he was here on earth. We pray these things in Jesus' name.